You. Once again, good morning, church. Good morning, church. Good morning! Come on! This is a good news day, and I've got tons of good news to share with you. We are in this season of Lent where we're preparing ourselves to, kind of be almost carried away by good news. This is the season, right? That we're looking forward to this resurrection day and all that it means for our resurrection lives. So good news, something to be excited about. So I want to share with you some of the good news that we've heard over the last couple of weeks. I'm going to move quickly. We talked about positioning ourselves through spiritual disciplines to sharpen our senses so that we can see and hear what God is up to, that we could expect the Holy Spirit to do something in us, right? And that only comes, like you heard, when we slow down and when we practice this listening and looking. So I want to commend that to you during this season, that you continue to slow down and listen and look. Then we talked about the good news about temptation. One, that there's a way out and that our God, our Father, is present with us in the midst of that. And that temptation is a test of our choice of faithfulness. And it's predictable and contextual as we saw Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. After he hadn't eaten for 40 days, he was tempted to turn those stones into bread. That kind of predictability and that kind of contextuality, so we can see it coming, right? If we're slowed down and we're looking and we're listening, we can see it coming. And when you can see something coming from far off, you have the capacity to make a choice. You can prepare yourself and make a choice. So we encourage you to continue to slow down and see this stuff coming and pray those specific prayers. Whatever the challenge is, there's a specific truth to combat the lie. And that all we saw in the life of Jesus as he was tempted in the wilderness. Then we talked about last week this prayer in solitude, this idea that when you've poured yourself out, when you're in grief, you're in loss, when you're in celebration and in joy, when you've poured yourself out, that's a time to get away with Jesus. Let him refresh you and refill you. When you've got something coming up, you know you're about to pour out. When you've got decisions to make and they're heavy and they're difficult and you need some insight, that's the time to get away with Jesus in solitude, following his pattern. Oh boy, and when it's time for change, whether it's happening to you or you wish it would, that is the time to get away with Jesus in solitude, practicing these patterns of prayer. This is all good news. Because in the life of Jesus, we see temptation overcome. We see the expectation of things and those things happening. Well, we see him being refilled. We see him be replenished. We see him given insight when he practices these patterns of discipline in prayer. So it's good news that those are available for you and I as well. And I got more good news for you today. We're going to be experiencing through the life of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, this idea of dependence and seeing Jesus one more time praying and teaching his followers to pray. How many of you, though, before we jump into that, are really great at being dependent on others? Yeah. It stinks, right? It's really, really hard. In fact, it's like countercultural almost. I don't want to say this too harshly, but it's almost our national anthem to be dependent, right? To pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, the Protestant work ethic, right? It's you take care of yourself. That's what we hear. It's what I've heard all my life growing up. And it's what's been celebrated in me all my life from other people, how well I can do the thing that needs to be done, how well I can take care of my own business. How many of you, though, like me, sometimes don't get the thing done and sometimes can't take care of your own business? We should all, some nods, nobody's raising their hands, just me, but I see some nodding faces. We know that life can be hard. Even when it's good, it can be difficult. So this idea of dependence is, it's yucky, right? That's a good word, yucky. And the thought of dependence being a good thing is really, really foreign to us. Let me give you an illustration from my young life and things that I've learned in recent years about dependence, and hopefully some of you will resonate with this enough that it'll sink in. I remember the first race that I ran in track and field as an eighth grader, and I was a sprinter then, and I got down in my blocks, and I looked at my hand, and right across the top of my hand, as I would see it at the starting line, was a reference to a piece of scripture, Philippians 4:13. How many of you have heard Philippians 4:13 before? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? It's a power verse that I was taught by some of the people in my youth that mentored me in the way of Jesus. And I remember looking at that and just saying it over and over and over again while I'm crouched in the starting blocks, waiting for the gun to sound so that I can go run really hard and really fast because Christ was going to strengthen me. And I carried that understanding of that verse all the way up until January of this year. That's how this worked. That I was in charge, that I was determining the destiny and the shape and the outcome of things, and that anything I set my mind to, I could do it because Christ would strengthen me. How many of you have realized or thought of that verse in that way? Some of us. The problem with that is, though, sometimes it doesn't turn out the way that I want it to. And what am I left with then? What are we left with then? If we understand it as though, oh, we're going to get it done, we're going to do it, we're going to accomplish it, we're going to win the race because Jesus is going to fuel it, he's going to be the rocket pack on our back, and then it doesn't happen. What are we left with? It's the D word. Anybody? No, easy. Doubt is the one I was thinking of. I don't know what you said over there. Doubt. Man, doubt's trouble. I was hanging out with some friends this January, and we were going through an exercise, a spiritual discipline, where we were open to listening to God specifically about the things that we've been saying to ourselves that might not be true or helpful. And in the middle of this exercise, I heard God say, I'm not with you, you are with me. I'm not with you, you are with me. Now that might sound weird because we think of God being with us, Emmanuel, God with us, and that's a really, really important idea for us theologically. But what God was saying to me is, Bill, you're with me. When you're with me, all the things that we are doing together, those are the things that are going to happen. Those are the things that I am giving strength to. Those are the things that I'm supplying in you. And let me tell you, in January of 2019, for the first time in my life, I was like, oh, I'm not in charge? I thought this whole stinking time that I was the one doing and you were just helping, God. You see how that could be a little bit of a problem. And now, so far this year, gosh, we're winding up the first quarter. I'm experiencing some freedom in my life that I hope every one of you get to experience as you encounter this idea of dependence. Because when I think about being with him instead of him being with me, I'm okay being dependent on that guy. Jesus was too, is too. And so we're going to explore that a little bit in this text today. So dependence isn't the other D word. It's not so yucky after all. At least that's what I'm going to suggest to you, and I hope you trust me, but maybe you will a little bit more after we encounter the text. So one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. There is Jesus praying again, this model of Jesus praying. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Now, we look at this and it's just a normal request for most of us, but back in those days, rabbis would often teach their specific values, their specific way of following the Torah and the Jewish cultural laws. They would teach those very specific, their interpretation of them. So every rabbi would have some unique twist on some things that they would teach to their disciples, and some of that would come out in the form of prayer. Now, if we had a lot of time, we could back way up into this really, really, really interesting cultural world of the Jewish rabbis and the Jewish people in this day in the types of prayers that they prayed at various times. We don't have a lot of time to do that, but what I want to say to you is everything that we're about to read next is Jesus taking these really cool cultural forms that every Jewish person would be aware of, and he takes them and he puts his little twist on them. Jesus, the rabbi, is teaching his disciples this form of following God, this form of living the way of God. We would call it the way of Jesus because he is the rabbi teaching it. They said, teach us how to pray just like John taught his disciples. So one other piece that we can lift out of this that's really critical for us to be comfortable with praying prayers of dependence is this idea that Jesus is imparting to his community, his unique family of people that are following him around, the way of following him and the way of being present in the life of the kingdom of heaven. So as we encounter this, this very practical thing that I want you to take with you right now from just this first line, Jesus created a community that was unique, and you and I are a part of that community as we follow him. We are his disciples. He is our rabbi. You got this so far? All right, let's keep going. He said, when you pray, and we know this prayer, many of us, Father, and this is Luke's version of it, slightly different than Matthew's version of it, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Right? We know this more commonly as the Lord's Prayer, should be called the disciples' prayer because that is the context in which it is being taught and delivered. Here's some things here, kind of further reinforces this idea that we're a part of a community. When you pray is in the original language is the literally when y'all pray. When y'all pray, when you pray together as a community, when you are praying as part of this community, when y'all pray, pray like this. He starts off with this first word, Father. And I want to tell you that that is a tweak. This is a difference that Jesus introduces to these cultural prayers. Slightly different. In the language that this is written in, this word is Abba. We commonly will translate this as daddy. And that is kind of the substance that is really different from the other cultural forms of this type of prayer that the other rabbis would teach. This idea of Abba, daddy, is very intimate. It's not dismissive of authority and respect, but it adds this quality of intimacy like a son or a daughter would have with their father. Daddy. Not just dad, daddy. And I know that not all of us have had great experiences with our earthly fathers. And so we have to kind of get outside of ourselves a little bit and think about what this communicates to us on the larger human scale, the bigger picture. And it's this sense that we ought to trust. We ought to be able to trust daddy. I mean, very practically speaking, as infants, we were dependent on mommy and daddy, right? And as we grew in various ways, dependent on daddy. And so this is the sense that we have here. Hallowed be your name. This continues with this idea of intimacy leading in, but not dismissive of respect. Holy is your name. Set apart is your name. You are different, God. Daddy, you are different. This is the way this prayer flows. Set apart. Daddy, you are different. Even if we have had experiences with our earthly fathers that haven't felt like they've been safe or that he's been trustworthy, Daddy, you are different. You're set apart. There is a redemption in this for us today. this Father can be trusted. He is different. Your kingdom come is the next line, yeah? This is another part I want you to be able to take away from this text. Your kingdom come, slightly different, another tweak on the cultural prayer of the day. This sense that that his reign and his power and his authority come and sweep over everything. And what do we know is the outcome of his reign, his power, and his authority? What is he going to accomplish? Some R words: restoration, redemption, right? Putting things back the way they're supposed to be. Shalom, this idea of nothing broken and nothing missing. This is what we hear when we hear Jesus say, ask for his kingdom to come. That's what we're asking for. We're asking for daddy, the different kind of daddy, to come and make everything right. So as we're chewing on this idea of dependence, we're seeing Jesus actually set the groundwork for someone who's very trustworthy to be dependent upon. You see this already? Give us each day our daily bread. Oh my goodness. Pretty dependent, right? That's a directly vulnerable, submissive statement. And we translate it as our daily bread, but it really, the word itself that we translate to bread is really kind of a bigger word that can mean any kind of food or nurturing or sustenance. Daddy, you're different. May your difference sweep over all of this and make it right. And in the meantime, I am going to trust you for everything that I need, my daily bread. Jesus the rabbi is teaching his unique community that includes you and I to be dependent upon his Father, our Father. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Another tweak on the cultural prayer that other rabbis would teach. They would say, forgive us our sins. Jesus adds in this little difference, as much as or in the same way that we forgive other people. Creating again this context of community in which we can be together, dependent upon Father, but also beginning and becoming interdependent on one another's ability and willingness to live in community where intimacy isn't violated, or if it is, forgiveness and restoration happens. You didn't know this prayer was so loaded, did you? Just a few simple sentences. And lead us not into temptation. All right, who thinks God leads you into temptation? This is a confusing sentence. There are other texts elsewhere, thinking of one in particular in James, where God does not tempt us. God doesn't test us in that way. So what could this phrase mean if it doesn't mean that? And as we kind of chew around in this and we talk to other scholars and people that write commentaries and look into the original culture and the original language, they seem to say things like, this phrase really recognizes his power to save our rear ends, to rescue us from whatever test that we're undergoing. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, this idea that God will always provide a way out of the test, that he's present with us in it. Rescue from anything that the evil one intends to use to do harm to us. Man, as we encounter this, we connect with this way of praying. It's everything from A to Z, right? It's a very focused, laser-focused way of prayer that recognizes who he is, recognizes who we are, so Father and children, right? And sets the stage. It frames what he is up to and what we ought to be participating in with him. Everything being put back the way it's supposed to be. That's this prayer is saying it. Your kingdom come. Give me everything I need. Food to forgiveness. It's all included in this. This whole prayer is a prayer of dependence. And I would say that even in those days, this was a prayer that wasn't easy to pray. Dependence wasn't an easy thing for people to experience or to freely give themselves over to then. And it certainly isn't now. So Jesus understanding this, he kind of helps us out a little bit. And so after he establishes this form of prayer, this model of praying, he tells a couple stories to help us unpack it. So we're going to look at those now because I think I need help with that too. Can you advance the slide, John? It's not listening to me. Hello, there we go. So Jesus must have seen the look on their face. Like, are you kidding? Dependent. I have to rely on him even for the food that I eat. Come on. Who can I trust for that? So Jesus continues. Suppose you have a friend and you go to their friend at midnight and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Another friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. Okay, a super important, critical, cultural kind of context here. What is happening is one person is going to their neighbor and asking them to help fulfill one of the most important cultural mandates of the time, and that is of hospitality to the stranger. Hospitality to the journeyer, the sojourner. So that's the context. It's a really, really important thing. So Jesus picks a really important cultural piece to draw from to make this illustration. So suppose you go there and you say, hey, lend me some bread. I've got no food to offer this friend, and I have to be hospitable. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't give up to give you anything. In this time, those homes, most of them were one room dwellings and kind of like a large common soft place where everyone laid down. And so if you can imagine, the neighbor has got his family kind of all laying around him and he's all snuggled up warm in bed. It's midnight after all, the story tells us. How excited would you be to get up to the sound of knocking on the door if you were in that situation? Not at all, right? Like, I'm down. It's midnight. My kids are all asleep around me. You know how hard it is to get my kids back to sleep? If I wake them up right now, oh my gosh, I'll be up till 3 a.m. and then I might as well stay up all day. Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. You go ahead and advance that, Jonathan. Thanks. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, oh my gosh, neighbor, you've got a sojourner come to your house. Of course I'm going to help you fulfill this cultural mandate of hospitality, and I'm going to give you the best of everything I have. Well, that's not what happened. He won't get up and help you because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. This is one of the times that I celebrate where our English translation actually draws out the exact meaning of the original wording, this idea of shameless audacity here. It's your friend is cuddled up in bed and trying to keep his kids asleep, not going to get up and help you just out of friendship or out of convenience. But because you keep knocking on that door, what's going to happen if you keep knocking on that door? What's going to happen? Somebody's going to get up. Come on, for crying out loud. You're going to wake my kid, right? They're going to get up. And even if they're grumpy, they're going to give you what you need just to shut you up. And this is the meaning that Jesus is putting behind this idea. Now kind of shifting this idea and this thought back to who the Father is. He's going to get up. Because of your shameless audacity, the boldness and shamelessness of your request. Daddy, daddy, hey daddy, daddy, hey daddy, 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 right? Kind of respond. In fact, the story goes on. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. It's soup to nuts again. It's A to Z. It's everything from food to forgiveness. Anything that you need, ask, boom. Look for it, search for it, find it. Knock and the door is going to be opened for everyone who pursues Daddy like this. Will receive, will find, will be let in. When we consider our comfort level with being dependent, this is a good strong word for us. It's a good encouragement for us. It's a great illustration for us about what it means to be with Him in this way. Jesus helps us out a little bit more. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. He's really good at the talking stuff, right? Making his points. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You don't have to keep pounding on the door, but he welcomes it. And he's not going to open the door and throw a stone at you. He's not going to open the door and kick you out. We can trust this guy. We can trust Daddy. He's different. He's putting everything back the way it's supposed to be. And he says, you come and ask me. You come and be bold with your requests. You come shamelessly knocking, 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 asking, asking, asking. You keep after me and I'm going to give you something good. I'm going to give you something better probably than you imagine. Let's rewind a little bit. Let me ask this question, and I want some participation here. You guys make me smarter on days like today. My understanding is that it's really hard to ask. It's really hard to seek. It's really hard to knock some days. And what I want to ask you is, why is it hard for us to be dependent? Yeah, I talked about the cultural stuff that we have kind of laid over top of us as we grow up in this part of the world, in this era. But what else is there in you? What makes it, not you, but your friend? I'm saying this for a friend. What makes it hard to ask for help? What makes it hard for us to be dependent? Vulnerability. Makes us vulnerable. What else? Yes, ma'am. Defeat and failure isn't acceptable. Even doubt, I would say, isn't acceptable in our culture. What else? What else? Maybe you've asked before and were let down. Yes? Fear of disappointment. Oh, I took your answer. I'm smart. Weakness. It appears weak. What else? Gosh, don't we? Get our value from being seen as independent. Take care of myself. Take care of mine. What else? Or not. Not worthy of help. Not son, not daughter, not a part of a community where everything's being made new. Not worthy. What else? Well, sometimes we don't want things to change even though they stink. Insight from my newly minted adult son. Might not happen when or how I want. So we just don't ask. We don't seek. We don't knock. Even though Daddy is different, and he'll provide everything we need from A to Z. And it'll be good for us, putting things back the way they're supposed to be. Prayer of dependence. Boy, does Jesus just zero in right here just like open heart surgery for me, at least. He gets right in there, right? He challenges in those words, in the ways he tweaks those original Jewish prayers. He tweaks them, changes them in a way that just kind of like peel back like lies and identity issues and all of my failings, all the things that make me feel vulnerable, weak, not worthy. He just peels them all back. He says, no, this is the way that it is. Pray this way. Pray this way. I want to just take a couple of minutes now and give you an opportunity to pray that way. You might be primed right now to be thinking about things that you need or that you've wanted or that you've longed for. You might be primed right now to be reliving some of your failures and your weaknesses and your vulnerabilities. And you might be primed right now to be wrestling with that stuff. And so now is the time to experience the prayer in dependence, prayer of dependence on Him. So we're going to walk ourselves through this line by line, this prayer that he taught us to pray. And I'm going to read it out loud to you. The words are going to be on the screen. And here's what I would love to happen. I would love for there to be a piano or a guitar playing, and I apologize that I didn't set you guys up for that right now. Because I want you to be able to tune in to yourself and tune out the sounds of people around you. And I want you to focus on this. I want you to wrestle with what that and those words mean to you. Not what do they mean, because I just told you what they mean. I want you to wrestle with what they mean to you. Those things that you're primed to wrestle with. I want you to see how this model of prayer that Jesus lays out for us is really this way of living dependently upon the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's all I want to say. I just want you to wrestle. I don't want to put any parameters on it further than that. So, one more. Thank you. I'm going to read it out loud a couple of times, and I just want you to sit there and let those words just kind of wash over you. Father, hallowed be your name. Daddy, you are different. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your rule, your reign, your way, do it. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Give us everything we need today. In this present moment, everything that we need. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Erase the ledger, God. Clear our accounts. Reconcile them the same way that we forgive the debts that other people have towards us. Clear all the accounts, God. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. God, send your angel armies, your heavenly host, your Holy Spirit, everything you've got to free us, to release us, to redeem us from those pressures, those tensions, those temptations, the tests and the trials. Give us a way out. Give us a way out. Lead us not into temptation. I think for me, my ability to be dependent on him rests so deeply in my ability to trust that he is daddy, that he is different, that he has a different way of life, that he is powerful and that he could make whatever needs to happen happen, that he can restore whatever's broken, he could fill in whatever's lacking. It rests so squarely on my ability to see myself as his son, the one he loves, the one that he desires to give good gifts to, his sons and his daughters, a community, a unique community, different from all the other communities, all the other families that have different ways of life. My ability to trust and depend on him, oh my gosh, rests squarely on that, on those things, his identity and my identity. And so I say to you in this season of preparation, as we're sharpening our senses in whatever means we can, the Lenten guide, the prayer seminar, coming here, spending time in solitude, whatever it is, I pray that you will wrestle with those things this week. That where you are aching and longing, that you will knock and seek, that you will ask, that you will allow yourself to be open to his response. I pray that this week, as you wrestle with temptation and trial, that you will rely on him, that you will not say, strengthen me, God, but you will say, God, let me be found in your strength. Let this be the season of good news in your life. Let me pray for you and for me both. Daddy, we're so amazed that after all the things we've experienced and all the things we've been told and all the things we've felt, that you call yourself our father, our daddy, not just big and strong and stern, but daddy, here and near and present. God, we celebrate you today as being the daddy that's different, is set apart, is holy. And our minds are blown at the idea that you call us to be set apart and different and holy just in the same way that you are. And we confess, God, right now in this room, that that will be so much easier if your kingdom would just come. If your will would be done. That things would be put back the way they're supposed to be. That rights, that wrongs would be made right. That what's lacking would be provided. That what's broken would be renewed and restored and healed. That we would see it in our time. God, we're asking for that now in the name of Jesus. We're seeking that now in our own lives and the lives of our families. Holy Father, we are knocking on the door saying, let us into this life that we know is coming, that we know in part is present here, but God, we want it all now. It would be so, so much better to live in that way. So God, give us what we need until then. Fill in all the gaps. From food to forgiveness, do it all. In the power of your Spirit, in the power of your Spirit, God, help us to live differently as you do with our brothers and sisters, setting things right, reconciling, clearing out the debts between us, the rights and the wrongs, the sins, the injuries, the pain. God, in the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the big eraser, God, and give us the strength to erase it. And then to live in a time, in a day, and in a way that's dependent upon that happened. God, in all the ways we struggle with all of this, and we do, we pray that you would rescue us. We pray that you would just rip the chains from us. Whatever holds us back in these ways, God, that you would set us free. Just redeem and rescue us from anything that the evil one would use to prevent us from living the life you've called us to. This resurrection life, this good news that is good news. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.